All right. Anyhow, I've been talking for a number of months now about the progress of Paul, that Paul just didn't get saved, and there it is. Probably wouldn't have 13 epistles if it was that way. Probably one epistle, and that'd be about it. But there is a reason for the account in Acts. There's a reason for the 13 epistles, and it shows Paul's progress. Now, what I'm going to do is I want to address Gentiles and Israel and things of that nature. Anyhow, see if we're wired up and we're on go. Okay. So anyhow, we're getting some technical things worked out right now. All right. Who? Who? Okay. Shane has a fever. Okay. Will do. All right. They're back there working on this. I don't think it's the mic. But anyhow, I don't know whether we should just talk about the economy, or should we go forth?
We might never get out of here and start talking.
I know. Would you give them just a minute? They're doing a check with. It's good now. Okay. All right. Anyhow, so that isn't too bad. All right. Yeah, we're going to continue with the progress of Paul and his ministry. Like I was saying, there's a reason for Acts, and most of it is concerning Paul and his ministry. There's a reason for 13 epistles of Paul. It wasn't like a one-time event. He got saved, he preached the gospel, and boom, you know, that's it. That's all there is to it. So that's the reason for that. And so I've shown the progress, and what it ultimately ends up being is that God worked out a work through Paul, and of course his other fellow laborers, but he worked out a work ultimately to get to us. Now, what I want to do is kind of approach this whole thing from a different angle than we did previously. So, let's go into Isaiah and look in Isaiah 34. In Isaiah 34, we're going to start in Isaiah 34. We're going to start in verse 1. Isaiah 34, verse 1. He says, "Come near, ye nations, to hear, and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world, and all things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of the carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood." Sounds like a bad deal for these nations. Doesn't sound like a good situation. The indignation of the Lord will be upon them. And so you see that they're going to catch the wrath of God. Now, with that said, look in Zechariah. Hang a right. Go to Zechariah. It's a couple books before Matthew. So if you want to go to Matthew and hang a left, you're good there too. When you get to Zechariah, turn to chapter 12. And this kind of matches that what we just read in Isaiah. In Zechariah chapter 12, verse 8, "In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, and as an angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all nations that come against Jerusalem." So you see that the nations there obviously is not Israel per se. It's the nations. It's the Gentiles. And you see there are verses, and I just grabbed two. There are many more verses. You do some research on it, you'll find a lot, where God speaks about his wrath being poured out upon these nations. So it's undeniable that that's there. So with that said, let's see what else is in prophecy and take a look at it. Whole Zechariah, we'll come back to it, and turn back to Isaiah and look in Isaiah chapter 11. Now you are probably familiar with this. It's a feel-good storyline that people of many generations have tried to get this world to get into this state, and it will not happen, not in this dispensation. In Isaiah 11, look in verse 6. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaning child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. And those asp and the cockatrice are two viper snakes, like a cobra type snake. And it's explaining the fact that infants and children will play with these snakes. So something's changed in the environment of nature. I talked about you hear about the lamb laying down with the lion, the cow is there with the bear. I mean, these are predators, and one's the predator, one's the hunted today. But this will come to pass. There will be a time when these things will happen. But if we go further and continue reading, down in verse 9 it says, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So the question is the earth full of the knowledge of the Lord today? No, it's not. It's in a book, but the earth is not full of the knowledge of the Lord today. So we know that this time, by the nature of animals, is not happening today, and we know that the world is not full of the knowledge of the Lord. So we know it's not talking about this time. But look at what the Lord says about the time it is talking about. In verse 10, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and Shinar, from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. But it's interesting to note verse 10. In that day there shall be a root of Jesse. There will be an ensign to the people, and to it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. So it talks in two different terms here. In other words, you're talking about a specific day, and that day, I know this, and the study is not going to teach this, the Lord is going to return back down to the earth. And at that time, there are two things that are going to take place, one of which is God's wrath. We saw that. We saw where the nations are going to catch his wrath. We saw where he's going to pour his wrath out upon those people that rose up against his people. Yet, on the other side, we see this concerning the Gentiles. I told you to hold Zechariah. Go to chapter 8. Zechariah chapter 8. In Zechariah 8, look in verse 20. Says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall come to pass that there shall come people and the inhabitants of many cities, And the inhabitants of one city shall go to the other, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord, and seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations will come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem, and to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. So you're seeing two different Gentiles here. You're seeing one type of Gentile, and I'm going to write it over here, that has a promise, if you want to call it that, for lack of a better word, where those Gentiles will wind up into God's wrath. Then you have another type Gentile that we just read about that's going to wind up and go into glory. It's the glory of the Lord is what it is. So it's two different type Gentiles. And you see, I guess the reason why I'm addressing this the way I am is because there are teachers out there, so they say they're teachers, that teach that there's no difference in Gentiles. They're all one and the same. Well, they're all Gentiles, but you can see by the four different scriptures that we went to, that there were Gentiles, nations, that are going to wind up in the wrath of God. Then there were Gentiles, like it said, there'll be 10 men out of all nations that'll take the skirt of him that's a Jew and hang on to the skirt of him that's Jew, saying, we're going with you. We heard God is with you. And they're going to go to Jerusalem to pray to the Lord. Well, that certainly isn't this bunch, is it? I mean, you can't get them crossed up. So there are two types of Gentiles that exist. But some people teach that a Gentile's a Gentile as a Gentile. And so what they'll do is they'll take a Jew and they'll segregate all Gentiles from the Jews and ultimately give this impression that a Gentile had no hope until Paul came along. So let's do Paul. Acts 9. So Paul comes along. Now the Gentiles have hope. Well, there's some question about that. Look in Matthew 25. This is the Lord speaking. It's about 2 days before his execution. So he's at the end of his life here and making a closeout statement here. Matthew 25. We've read this before, but it's going to really play into what we're talking about. Verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory. You remember? It's the glory of the Lord. That's what we're talking about at this particular time. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And that's why there are no goats here tonight, because they're on the left hand. I got rid of the goats. No, I'm just kidding. So my sheep, let's read some more. Feel like I'm at a 4-H or something. In verse 33, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, now that's the sheep, right? And that's nations. Come ye blessed, that's a key word, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I bet most people that read this don't pay attention to what they're reading. Come ye blessed of my Father. So these sheep nations, which are Gentiles, are referred to as being blessed. And they're going to inherit the kingdom prepared for you. Now, the kingdom is prepared, the kingdom is to Israel. Will thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? So it's Israel's kingdom, but that kingdom is for the Gentiles. God's going to raise up Israel at this time, and they're going to be the head and not the tail. And so Israel will be his people. The purpose of God giving the kingdom to Israel is for the nations. The blessed of my father. So the nations can get to God through Israel. That's God's plan. So here we go. Verse 35. For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. So what allowed them to be blessed? What allowed them to inherit the kingdom that God prepared from the foundation of the world for them? These Gentiles did favors to Israel, to the seed of Abraham. He said, if you did it to my brethren, you did it to me. That's why they're going in. As a matter of fact, they don't even know what qualified them to enter in. They're asking, you know, how did we ever do this for you? They don't know. They didn't go up to him and go, well, certainly we should go in there. We kept the covenant of circumcision. We kept the Sabbath. We kept the holy days. We watched our diet according to the Levitical law. We kept all those things. No, these Gentile nations were not doing that. Not at all. But they did take the brethren of the Lord and do something favorable for them. It's not necessarily identified other than I was sick and in prison and naked and thirsty and hungered, and you did for me. So these nations are going to earn the blessing of God based upon what they did to the Lord's people. Now, verse 41, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed. So you have blessed and now cursed into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. By the way, God never prepared the fire for man. It was for the devil and his angels. And those that follow that suit are going to suffer the consequence. Then he says, For I was a hungered, you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So you see there's a contrast there. These are nations, they're Gentile nations. There'll be those that will wind up being blessed. There'll be those that are cursed. The cursed wind up in the wrath. We saw that in prophecy. The blessed wind up in the glory of the Lord. I mean, these are... You have to really be in denial of the Word of God to not see this or not agree with it. It is that fundamental. And for a teacher, and I'm addressing them right now because there's some watching, for a teacher to get on the internet, Facebook, or their website and say that there's no difference in Gentiles, You might want to go back to children's church and eat your popsicle, eat two of them so you can take the popsicle stick, and in children's church you can glue them together and make your little cross, because you're about that juvenile if you cannot see that there are different groups of Gentiles throughout history. I mean, it's fundamental. And the thing about it is God did a work through the Apostle Paul to ultimately reach out to these that were cursed, and that's where we're going. And that's the beauty of it. That is the beauty of this storyline. So, if there is no difference in Gentiles, I have a basic fundamental question. When Paul began his ministry, we have gone through Acts in the early part of this teaching, that Paul, when he got to a city, on the Sabbath day, where did he go? He went into the synagogue. Now, we know Jews are in the synagogue. But who else was in the synagogue? Were there Gentiles? Absolutely. So, if having a relationship of some sort, a Gentile with a Jew, profits you nothing, as some say, that there is no advantage for a Gentile to have any blessings of God, then why would a Gentile, when Paul goes into these cities to the synagogue, why were there Gentiles in the synagogue? I mean, you think they got together and said, well, there's no ball game on today, let's go over to the Jewish synagogue and have church. Or we don't have nothing going on, so let's go to the synagogue today. No, they went there for a reason, they went there for a purpose. Within the heart of those Gentiles, they knew that the God that dwells on high is the God of these Jews. And they had a fear for that God, and their only access to any understanding of that God was to go into that synagogue and hear the reading of the prophets. That was their only access to hear it. And there were Gentiles that did it. So consequently, when Paul would go there, he would preach the gospel to them. The gospel of Christ, there's only one throughout the whole age of grace. It's the gospel of Christ. Christ died for our sins, was buried and raised again the third day. He would go there and preach it. And so consequently, you had some Jews that believed. You also had Gentiles that believed. So that's why these were together in the synagogue. There is a difference in the Gentiles. These Gentiles would not go in there with the Jews. I've said this repeatedly, and it's bear out in Matthew 25. You saw me a-hungered, and you gave me no meat. You saw me a-thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was sick, I was whatever, and you came not unto me. And if you didn't do it to the least of these, my brethren, you didn't do it to me, so go away from me, ye that are cursed. So they're not in the synagogue. They're not in the synagogue. And this carried out through Paul's ministry. Now, what stopped Paul from going into the synagogues? It was the unbelieving Jew. The unbelieving Jews, headed up by the Pharisees, which Paul was a part of. He was the leader of the gang there at one time, till he got saved. These unbelieving Jews were after him and chased him and ultimately wanted him killed. So the Lord took, he had control of Paul throughout his life. He definitely wasn't going to let him get killed, but he had a plan. So Paul winds up in Rome in prison. And Paul begins to write there. And there's some interesting things. Turn to Colossians and go to chapter 3. Look in Colossians chapter 3. And I guess the reason why I'm so passionate about this is because the salvation that we're talking about ultimately winds up in Baton Rouge. It ultimately winds up with us Gentiles. And it's an interesting story to find out, how did it get here? You know, have you ever sat down with grandma and said, tell me about your family? How did they get here? I mean, I'd be interested to know a little bit more about my ancestry, and I'm not going on Ancestry.com, but I'd be interested to hear about it, just to hear the process of how they got here. Well, folks, we can do that. Why? Because we've got Ancestry.com right here in our lap. God has revealed the hidden program he had to ultimately bring this salvation from Paul, who was in Rome, to us today. It's in there. And those guys that don't teach any difference of these Gentiles take it and they distort the truth of it. And it's not right. It would be kind of like if someone told you a story about your great-grandpa that you never met, and someone said, well, he was a criminal. He committed crimes. He wound up in jail, and ultimately they killed him. And then you start doing research and finding out that he was never a criminal. He never wound up in jail. He was a farmer out in wherever town, village, ville, whatever. And he just lived the life and gave birth to them, raised a family, and went off and died, went his course in life. How would you feel towards that individual that gave you that false information? You should be a little upset that your heritage was tainted. Well, this is our heritage. This is how it got here. And that's why I'm passionate about this and want people to see it. Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, look in verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. You know, some people think that idolatry, the only way you can have idolatry is to have a statue, a picture, or some emblem on the wall or on the floor, and you bow down to it. That is idol worshiping. But did you read what idolatry really is? And covetousness, which is idolatry. What do we covet? I mean, come on, you know, you really don't want to admit that I don't covet anything, because now you know covetousness is idolatry, so you go, I just really wanted it. I didn't covet it, I just really wanted it, you know. I worked overtime to get it, but I didn't covet it. Matter of fact, I sold a prized possession to get it, but I didn't covet it. No, I'm just kidding. Now we know idolatry. He says then in verse 6, for which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Disobedience. Now in this case, there are some children there that he's writing to. There's some people there. It is the Colossians. Now it's interesting to note that while Paul was in Rome, two of the epistles, he wrote others, but is the ones to Colossae and the ones to Ephesus. And by the way, those two cities are in Turkey, just to give you a mental picture about where this is. It's in Turkey. Ephesus is kind of a seaboard town. Colossae is inland. I don't know how many miles inland, but it's inland. Paul went to Ephesus several times as opposed to Colossae, which he never did physically go there. Therefore, in chapter 1, he says, since we heard of your faith in the Lord. So he never personally met these people, but he heard about their faith in the Lord. And he's talking about the children of disobedience. It's interesting. Turn to Ephesians. Some more Turks here. Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now it's interesting to note, were by nature the children of wrath. Were by nature the children of wrath. According to Colossians, the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. So if they're the children of wrath, they're children of disobedience. So I want to show you something here. Turn to Galatians chapter 2. Look in Galatians chapter 2 and look in verse 15. Galatians 2, verse 15. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. Jews by nature. Now, how could an individual be a Jew by nature? How could an individual be a Jew by the process of life? That's nature, the process of life. Pretty much from mom and dad. Mom and dad's a Jew. Guess what they're going to have? A little Jew baby. That's how you become a Jew by nature. Now, you had something in your Bible called a proselyte. What was a proselyte? That was a Gentile who converted over to Judaism and became like a Jew. He wasn't a Jew because he wasn't a Jew by nature. But he was a proselyte, a convert to the Jews' religion. So now we know nature has a plan in its process. You have two Jews, they get together, have a baby, they're going to have a Jew by nature. And we can go on with that and use race colors, we can go on with that and use nationalities. You understand. So with that said, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2. And touch on this real quick, where he says in verse 1, and you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Now, who's the prince of the power of the air? The devil. Okay? There's a course in this world. It has to do with the religious course, and that the devil's running it. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So what children caught wrath? Well, according to Colossians chapter 1, it was the children of disobedience. So if they're children of wrath by nature, then how did they get to be children of wrath by nature? Passed down, generation, generation, generation. So if they're children of wrath by nature, then he's connecting those Gentiles that he's writing to these here. To these here, the cursed. By nature. By nature. Those who are Jews by nature are Jews because mom and dad were Jews. Those who are children of disobedience and the children of wrath by nature, it comes from this bunch, which we read in the Old Testament, which the Lord talked about in Matthew 25, that fall into the wrath of God. So now, Paul then, in the writings of Ephesians and Colossians, is addressing Gentiles. And it's this bunch here he's writing to. Now, let me show you what's amazing about it. Turn to Colossians. And look in Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians 1, verse 24. He says, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. Now, let me just say this before we go any further. Try to imagine you're a Colossian. Go to real time. Several thousand years ago, you lived at Colossae. You're a saved, and you're of that church of Colossae. Paul writes this epistle. It's gotten out by one of the fellow laborers. It's brought there and it's read to you. So that's where you are. You're not in Baton Rouge 2015. You're there. So read it in that mindset. Verse 24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. Well, then that would be the Colossians, right? And fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is a church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Paul fulfilled the word of God. John didn't when he wrote Revelations. I know it's sequenced that way. Paul fulfilled the word of God, and it was to these Colossians. It wasn't his last epistle, but there must be something there to have fulfilled it. And we're going to see it. Verse 26. Even the mystery which had been hidden or hid from ages and from generations, but now, you're at Colossae, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you say, why is that such a big deal? Well, let me show you why. Hold Colossians and turn to Isaiah. And look in Isaiah chapter 60. And look in Isaiah chapter 60. And look in verse 1. Arise, shine. Probably a lot of mothers that had kids starting school said that repeatedly the last week or so. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. So here in prophetic terms is Gentiles coming to the glory of the Lord. It was prophesied back there in Isaiah that you would have Gentiles coming to the glory of the Lord. Well, now that we have seen all this, we know what Gentiles it is that's going to come to the glory of the Lord. It's these Gentiles. So the prophets wrote about Gentile salvation. Gentile salvation did not start with Paul. It did not. There was promises in the Old Testament, and we just read one where there are Gentiles that are promised the glory of the Lord in his kingdom. That's a promise that God has made, and he will fulfill that. God said it. He's going to keep it. He's going to do it. Matter of fact, in Matthew 25, before Paul saved, Christ even prophesied about the fact that these Gentiles, both groups, would be gathered before him. The sheep on one hand, the goats on the other. The sheep, where do they go? Blessed of my Father, the glory of the Lord. Well, that ties in with Isaiah 60 that we just read. It has nothing to do with these Gentiles. All of a sudden now, what we're reading in Ephesians and Colossians, where Paul wrote to them from Rome, he's addressing these Gentiles. Now go back to Colossians and look in chapter 1 again. In fulfilling the word of God, as verse 25 says, whereof I made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now, as Paul is in Rome, he writes it, but now is made manifest. But now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It was a mystery. Well, here's the problem that some are going to have. You're not, because I'm teaching it correctly. If God wrote back in the Old Testament that he was going to bless Gentiles and that they have a position of glory with God, Paul comes along then with a confusing point of view by saying, well, there's a mystery. The Gentiles have the hope of glory. A mystery? Paul, how can you call it a mystery? We just read Isaiah 60, where he talked about Gentiles coming unto the glory of the Lord. We saw Matthew 25, where Gentiles will be blessed of God and go in there. The reason why it was a mystery is because before Paul, at this now point, before that point, God never raised up one man, whether it was a prophet, whether it was a king, whether it was an apostle, whether it was the Lord himself, or the 12 apostles, any of those, God never spoke to them and had them pinned down that he would ever save this bunch. Everything you read about these Gentiles, they're associated with being cursed. Everything. And even the Ephesians fell into this category by nature. By nature. Just like a Jew fell into being a Jew by nature. So it was passed down. It was passed down. And that's how it's worked. So consequently, we see then that God has, in the closing ministry of Paul, gave him a revelation whereby God now has been reaching out to these Gentiles that deserve nothing but his wrath, and now we have the hope of glory. The thing about it is we're not Jehovah Witnesses. We're not talking about this glory. That's what they're trying to sell. They're out of dispensation. It's a vain knock on your door. We're talking about the glory that exists with the Lord Jesus Christ, set at God's right hand. That's our glory. That's the hope and confidence of our glory in Christ Jesus. And folks, that was a mystery, and it was hid from generations and from ages, and nobody in God's domain, not the angels, not the devil and his angels, no man ever knew about it. It was hid in the counsel of God Almighty until he let it out to the Apostle Paul, and Paul was the first one that ever had that revelation told to him, and he pinned it down, and preachers and teachers today consistently miss it. And they do everybody a disfavor in doing so. Once again, if there's no difference in these Gentiles, then why would any Gentile be sitting in a synagogue? They knew why they were. Paul addressed them. Ye men of Israel, and ye that fear God. They feared God, that's why. So consequently, those Gentiles will end up being blessed. And they were, by the way, by having the gospel brought to them by Paul. There are two different groups of Gentiles. Now, I saw the other day someone, apparently somebody's tuning in, because I use the phrase two groups of Gentiles. Well, groups doesn't show up in your Bible. Oh, my God. Okay, whatever. There are Gentiles that are blessed and cursed. How about that? I just use groups because there's a group of Gentiles here, there's a group here. God called them sheep and goat. You can call them whatever. But there are Gentiles that would bless the seed of Abraham. There are those that cursed it, and they cursed it by nature. Mom and daddy cursed it, I'm going to curse it. I mean, we see that in our society. I can't get some people to come to this church because mom and daddy are Catholic, and I'm a Catholic. Mom and daddy Baptist, I'm a Baptist. I'm like, you need to come. You need to hear the truth of the word. They don't because of their nature of the upbringing. It's the same way, folks. We didn't invent this wheel. It's been rolling way before us, and it goes all the way back to the history of these Gentiles. So Paul came along and got that that mystery revealed to him. And folks, it had to ultimately work that way because the Jews that he was going to, he got those that would believe saved, and the unbelievers chased him, and so the Jews' status with God fell. So what he did is he opened up a new work by revealing to Paul that now these Gentiles could be saved. And that's why he told those Jews that visited him when he was at Rome, hearing you shall hear and not understand, seeing you see and not perceive. Your ears are stopped up, your heart is waxed gross, and God's going to turn this to the Gentiles, and they will believe it. And folks, this thing's worked almost 2,000 years. God knew exactly what he was doing. And since we're still here, apparently it's still going to work. Somebody somewhere needs to get saved, because ultimately this thing's going to close out, and when it does, these Gentiles are back into the wrath and the blessing. Right now, anybody today can be saved. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, not just specifically to the Jew and the Gentile that bless God. All right, that's it. Done up. Time for cake. Have my cake and eat it too.